Okay, so my name is Tyler Turner. I come from Southern California. No, wait, no. I come from the South Bay, not Southern California. I grew up in Campbell, California. It's right outside San Jose. Throughout my childhood, I was an introverted child with one older sibling and two parents. I lived in a relatively, I lived in a home that I had, my father had inherited from his mother. So they've been living in the house for probably, let's say since the 70s. And yeah, as a child I was very withdrawn and I showed a lot of artistic potential, but that was at the expense of kind of being social. But as I grew older, I started to kind of branch out a little bit more, but not too much.
And how was politics talked about in your household?
Politics, it's very strange as a child. One particular event that was burned in my brain was 9/11. I remember being very, very young, probably like 7 or 6, and I remember being woken up by my mother and dragged in front of the television and shown what was happening as if she knew that I was like going to change the fabric of the political landscape. Even at that age, she felt like that was important for me to witness. Also just because it was probably just a very disturbing event. So in terms of politics, I think that was one of the earliest memories I had of our country's, at least going forward from that event. That was one of my first introductions to our country's involvement in politics. And throughout my childhood, I would watch the news every afternoon or every evening and witness the slow progression of the Iraq war. And actually my cousin was a Marine. I always forget about this, but he was in the Marines. I can't remember where he was based, but he was in the Marines for, maybe a year, around like 2004. And I remember when he came back actually to my hometown, there was news coverage of this happening. And I remember seeing like my family in the footage, but you know, it was like hometown or Campbell, well, you know, welcomes the, you know, returning Marine, that kind of thing. But in terms of politics throughout my childhood, it was very much open to me to interpret what was going on. I remember the news having a very strange impact on my family, maybe. They would discuss the politics around the war and all that, but I was a little too young to understand the major politics of it until years later. The manipulation of the public awareness of the kind of search for weapons of mass destruction. But yeah, growing up, politics was, as a withdrawn child, I don't think politics for me was too prominent in my life. But I remember it wasn't like my parents sat me down and explained every aspect of our political fabric. It was just sort of a very strange time. You know, I would hear events here and there kind of referenced, but yeah.
Did your parents have a bias, or did it just let you interpret the world as you see fit?
I remember my mom, it was very much a liberal. My dad, I think, was very ambiguous to me. I remember asking my parents who they would vote for, and it would just kind of ignore the conversation or ignore the answer. But I remember my parents would explain to me that they had jumped between Republican and Democrat here and there throughout the early 2000s. And yeah, again, it was like a very strange time for me growing up.
And as you became an adult, and obviously your relationship with politics may or may have not changed, what kind of commentary about Democrats and Republicans?
I don't know, it's very strange. I remember certain events, but then I don't really have too much to say about politics. But my grandmother passed away when Obama was elected. I remember that kind of image being burned in my brain. I remember my grandmother was a very staunch liberal, so she would have loved to see Obama elected. But I remember she passed away, I think, hours before he was elected on a, and, you know, revealed as the the president on national news. But at least now, my political affiliation is very ambiguous. I feel at times like it's a pendulum. I think politics is just a pendulum that swings back and forth. I don't know, it's strange. I haven't really involved myself too much in it, but I understand that people have very deep-seated kind of impressions about how the country should be run. I don't know.
How important do you think political conversations are, like the ones we've been having? How do you feel about our American political climate right now?
I think it's strange. There are conversations happening politically that need to be had, but there's this issue of should everyone's political views be respected? And at times I think they should be regardless, but then there are times where I feel like certain political views need to be negotiated more, and that's where we need political conversation. It's hard to just kind of write someone's political views off just because the moral ambiguity of it frightens us. I think if we have more and more conversation and we figure out how we can all coexist, but even, I don't know, it's tough to like explain or talk about. I tend to come in and out of awareness about the political landscape, but it's unfortunate that we have a current president who divides people so much. It feels at times, because people are sort of rejecting this current president, that we should return to a more, I don't know, probably to, we should return to an older political structure where we're less involved with the government and more self-governing, because that seems to be the political standpoint of a lot of people. But again, I'm not like an expert on any of this, but I see some conversations going on that are discomforting for some people, and it happens from time to time, and I think that's what we need, is we need to sit people in a room together who have very different views, and we need to figure out how they can resolve these views or how they can carve out their own existence without harming or rejecting other people. I think that sort of goes back to our original country's social contract of you can live your life as long as you're not living it at the expense of my life or at the danger or harm of my own life.
I believe this, so I must be right, and the sort of behavior that enhances polarization.
I think it's strange. I think it probably, I mean, if we're talking about like this country in particular, probably back to like the American Revolution, there were people who supported the continued relationship with Britain, and those people had views that they felt were right and just and easier to go along with than completely revolting against this governing body, this authoritarian body. I think the attitudes probably stem from that, this kind of black and white approach to the political system. It's either you believe in this conventional, easy to digest idea, or you are with this very dangerous side politically.
How do you feel about the future of our country? Where do you see America in X amount of years, in your lifetime? Do you see trends? Do you see things for coming?
I think in the coming future we're going to see, I remember doing a small critical essay on a research paper on the use of the internet and electing Obama, and just the use of the internet in any kind of social revolution. And I think with the recent election you saw a huge involvement of individuals with very polarizing views. You saw them coming from the deep parts of the internet and coming together to kind of influence this way of thinking for a particular political view. And I think in the future we're going to see, again, the pendulum swinging from one side to the other side, and I think we're going to see a backlash to the current administration, but we're going to see it in an advanced form, because with the internet comes this widespread, just this massive body of communication that's going to keep gaining steam. But it's all up to the young generation to figure out how to accomplish this, or how to apply that raw power towards something politically, like, I don't know, just politically impactful. like in 30, 40 years, we're going to see our generation taking political office and not just us trying to back an existing person that's a couple generations ahead of us. So I would like to see a politician that represents a different viewpoint, not just someone that went through the typical format of law school and then, you know, public office, but truly seeing someone that comes from a different background just simply taking political office. But we've seen that already, but that came from a very bad background of like business. I'm talking about like, I remember there was one, I can't remember who said this in one of my classes, but there was some lecture recently from a printmaker, and he was saying, I would love to see an artist take political office and not just artist supporting someone to take political office, but an artist being the politician, someone that understands our point of view. But that's limiting in and of itself. But I would love to see a more diverse person kind of take office. So I think in the future, I'd love to see the internet kind of coming together. I'd love to see the internet's viewpoint and the backlash take a sophisticated role in elections. I think with this past election, we just had very disconnecting choices. So I would like to see, instead of the internet backing or supporting a person, I would love to see the internet, if that's even possible, the internet be elected. I don't know, that's such a strange thing to say, but someone who is of this generation, who understands the battles that we're facing, at least politically, and not just trying to jam it into like an existing form, but like to mature through that period of time to understand like our viewpoints, at least now, that'd be interesting to see. So instead of someone who exists at this point, who's 20 years older than us, existing now and having to like cater to us as an audience or a political party, I would love to see someone who like was through and through like raised in the age of the internet and knows what power lies there, and not just like, oh, I need to cater to this audience to allow myself to be elected, but I am of that audience and I know what it feels like to feel powerless in that regard. So that's what I see happening. I think that's just like a natural thing to predict 20 years from now, 30, 40 years from now, is like, oh, a politician who's aged talking about the internet as he was growing up, or how she was growing up, or how they were growing up, you know, and not simply being forced to choose someone that maybe kind of, I guess, works for us, but someone that really understands what we're going through. I think that happens with every generation, is the previous generation dies out and then we take control. So,
also, I was wondering, what do you think about the media's role in influencing politics?
I think it's strange to consider like that role. So you're asking me like what was the role of the media and like what kind of impact they had, or?
What do you think about the media's influence on politics?
I think,
especially now,
I think honestly, like, the media is just too much of a mixed bag to rely on. I don't really look into it too much myself, but I always keep hearing about this like alternative facts, and that just seems to be like a fact that works for a particular bias, which is unfortunate. It's an unfortunate concept to have cropped up in the last 4 years. So I would like to see, I mean, I already spoke about the future, but yeah, its impact definitely played a role in like our perception of what was going on with certain politicians. Back home, I had a friend who, he's an old childhood friend. He had very questionable political views, but he showed me like these different media avenues and what they would communicate to their audience. And it just really, it becomes like a, you know, kind of a cafeteria experience. It's like, if you like this, then you'll listen to this outlet, and that's how you perceive everything politically. I think it's difficult to provide people with like a completely biased list, you know, or unbiased channel of communication in the media. It's just impossible, I think. That's why I would rather have, like, it's truly just, I think politics is all just, like, ridiculous. Like, if you could program a computer to understand politics, then maybe I would subscribe to that. If you can just get IBM's Watson to, like, understand politics, then maybe that would be a reliable source of media. Just straight facts instead of, like, a person typing up journalists, you know, a piece of journalism that might change how a 20-year-old thinks about the election. Like, I think we're starting to realize that, like, with the internet, we've made journalism in some regard very obsolete, but we've also confused it a lot, so we should just, like, throw away everything. But that's how I think the media kind of played a role. It just seems to be, like, it's just your perception, and if you can keep, if this audience can choose how they perceive something, and this audience can choose how they perceive something, there's something, like, wrong there, and it's, like, again, just, yeah, you probably shouldn't have one leader in control of anything, but I don't know. It's not like I'm going to be able to, like, give you an, I like to think of answers that would help the entire situation, but it's not going to be, like, an answer. It's going to be a lot of mistakes, so.
What should
the media look like?
No, what should government look like?
I think the government should just be, like, invisible completely. I think it, but that's the thing, is it starts to become very dystopian. There's, like, this concept of thought crime. If you think something is, like, politically polarizing, then it's, like, that means that you are isolated and, like, kind of rejected by the mainstream politics at hand. So I don't know, it kind of reminds me of that concept of, like, like, government should be invisible to us. It should just be, like, people operate a certain way, but that would involve a lot of genetic engineering or something. But I think, like, anytime you start thinking about the future of government and how we can make government less convoluted and less disruptive, you start to think about these, like, science fiction writers who were thinking of ways of implanting chips into our brains that made us operate a certain way so that we didn't have to require bureaucracy to operate, that we could just function like civil human beings without having to worry about this happening or that happening, and, like, and voting just being completely, I don't know, maybe it's, like, the tangibility of voting that's troublesome for people. It should just be, like, you think whoever you want to vote for, just that person's, like, elected. I don't know, that's, like, ridiculous, but I don't know, it's just, like, again, it goes back to, like, the fundamental flaws of civilization. I think as a modern civilization, we're realizing that, like, this shit's all flawed. There's no getting around it. That's why people should just live as hermits and not deal with, like, government or anything like that, so that's my personal take on it.
Cool. Anything else you
want to say?
In particular regarding humans and politics.
Humans and politics. I think politics is an art, so that's why I feel like an artist should be a politician. But it's also just like a game of illusions and influence. So, yeah, it's like humans and politics. If I can, I think, like, it's tough. Like, honestly, like, can you really even, like, teach an artificial intelligence to replicate what we think of as politics? It wouldn't function correctly, because it would become a yes or no kind of question, and a computer doesn't operate in a biased manner. It's yes or no, and it's difficult for people to provide political commentary because they don't think in yes and no terms. They think in gray terms. So, I don't know. I'm trying to use my hands a lot.
Oh, I don't know.
But,
I agree with you. I had an interesting talk actually on one of the other classes that I happened to meet a politician in one of my classes, and she had a background, and she got her BFA in art. And love Coco Donate, wanted to live there, wanted my children to be there, and decided to become a councilwoman. And I don't know, just the way she spoke and like the tenacity she had, I feel like brought so much to the table. And she was talking about how she'll come up with new ideas, but other politicians will be too scared to fail and too scared to try because they want to do something they know is going to be a sure thing, and how that then creates, you know, essentially no change.
Mm-hmm.
So I know that was kind of an interesting thing.
Yeah, I think it helps to have a different background on humanity that doesn't come from just going through a elitist program of law. And yeah, I just I don't think that is the most flawless path to take as a politician. I think it'd be amazing if we can find a way to fuse people together. So you would have someone who represents the right side of the brain and the left side of the brain, and they are fused into one body and they become the ideal politician. And it's not simply just one person that operates in a very rigid manner of thinking, who has no connection with the people that they represent. It should be like a synthesis of the two. And that would be a nice use of genetic engineering.